Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's up?
Just doing my thing, baby. What are you doing?
Well, we need to talk. I got a beef with you.
For real?
Yeah.
You can't, what's your beef with me?
Well, how do you like your beef?
Man, that's a tough question.
We're going to talk about beef today.
I mean, what about it?
I don't know. How to eat it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
How to
smoke
it? How to smoke
it? Cook it? Eat it?
Okay. So should
I all the good stuff?
Should I ask you, where's the beef?
Yeah, where's the beef?
The beef's at riverwatchbeef.com, and we have Chris Kovac here with us, the founder of the Beef Baron.
Hello, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah. The head of the herd.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a long episode full of fun stuff.
Really like bad that. Jokes,
maybe.
Probably.
I've never told a bad joke in the history of this podcast. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Anything you can do to get me out of that, I'm good. So, well, Chris, you're the founder of Riverwatch Beef. First off, thank you for the delicious beef jerky.
Our pleasure. And I also want to say congratulations on breaking the top 100 for business podcasts. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for everyone that's listened, including you. Appreciate it. It really does take a village. I mean it. Like, I'm so humbled. Every time I look at
it's
something that shows that success, and I really do appreciate everyone that continues to support this, including our guests that take time out of their busy day to come in and visit us.
And I'm so glad he's stocking the tour bus with beef jerky.
Your tour bus, by the way, I stuck a large chunk of beef in the tailpipe of your tour bus. So we keep talking about that because once Matt found out top 100, he started making rock star demands. He wanted a tour bus, 3 pounds of. Is it green or blue M&Ms?
Green M&Ms.
Why do you need a seahorse in your dressing room? And why do you even have a dressing room? Anyway, you're probably going to want your beef delivered. And
yes.
I think Chris can help with that.
And the Wi-Fi installed in the tour bus.
Oh, man. I can do both.
So you
really?
Can, so you can go to Riverwatch Beef and buy beef and subscribe and do all that. So Chris, let's talk about your business, man.
How did you get into the beef business?
Yeah, tell us.
Because I'm crazy.
That's probably why all entrepreneurs got into whatever it is that we do.
We are all crazy and have ADD.
And it's kind of one of these things to where I knew enough to be dangerous, which is always the worst amount of knowledge to have. So the genesis was my family grew up in a small family farm in Wyandotte County here in Kansas City.
Okay.
And my dad always liked being outdoors and worked for a marketing agency and had a lot of agribusiness clients. So he was out in the field a lot. And about 12 years ago, we found a property out in Colorado, and he decided to get into the ranching business. And by that, we mean raising beef animals. And so we've been doing that, like I said, for about 12 years. And my background's from ad agency and digital marketing and things like that. So I would go out there on vacation and actually work the animals, which was kind of funny because I was living downtown at the time and didn't really understand what I was doing. But long story short, developed a passion for it, the people that produce the beef, the animals, and about 2.5 years ago, decided to take the plunge full time, and we created Riverwatch Beef to deliver our beef direct to the consumer.
And that's, and you have, and I know that they're, you guys actually offer a subscription, right?
We do, yes.
So, and obviously that's where your history with e-commerce and, you know, by the way, when you're telling that story, I can't help but I got the picture of you wearing a cowboy hat in Cebu. Where did you find a cowboy hat? In the Philippines, by the way. But anyway.
The random dudes on the beach sell them to you.
There you go. Yeah. But I pictured Watson, yeah. You know, with the lasso and all that. But all right, so I want to talk a little bit about your history, a little more about like the e-commerce stuff and what led to Riverwatch, you know, because granted, there's a lot of people that raise beef.
Sure.
I've been doing that for a while. And obviously something, I believe we discussed, you're a third generation entrepreneur.
Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately.
Yeah, you can go either way. Yeah.
Yeah. So my background, like I said, I've been doing website development back in the mid 90s. So that was my foray into being an entrepreneur. Worked with Fortune 500 companies, helping them do e-commerce or content development or marketing. And so I had the opportunity to kind of do a lot of the heavy lifting myself in terms of writing the copy and doing the marketing promotion. And like I said, about 3 or 4 years ago, it really dawned on me a couple things. One, the people that work hard to produce quality food and that story isn't being told. Number two is to reduce barriers to deliver high quality food to people. And we've heard about food deserts and not everyone has access to high quality food.
What's a food desert? I've never heard that. Have you heard that term?
Yeah.
So okay. That would be in regions that may be a little bit economically disadvantaged. They don't have grocery stores. They don't have access to high quality foods, and it's very hard for them to find it. Some folks may not have a car, so they're not able to go to, you know, grocery stores.
Kansas City is almost a food desert for all things seafood.
It is. It's getting better.
For good seafood.
You actually have a good point, because I won't eat seafood here. And people are like, oh, don't you want seafood? I'm like, where's the ocean?
Yeah.
Like, it's nowhere near. You know, I used to live on the East Coast and, you know, literally go to Annapolis and eat stone crabs and stuff like that. And they came out, or oysters fresh out of the sea.
I always tell people, ironically, that the best food I've ever had in my life was in the desert in Las Vegas, which is not a food desert.
Also true.
You know, they say that Texas is a food desert for beef. I've heard time. Well, for good beef, I should say. See. And the reason why is because it's all feed yard beef. Mm-hmm. And it's baffling to me.
So when you say feed yard, you're talking just like, I mean, literally what you would picture, like a zillion cows stuffed into a small confined area. Yeah. They're eating pellets. And
They're eating Twinkies, Skittles, food waste, corn, all kinds of unhealthy things. And
are they really eating Twinkies and Skittles?
They are. They're eating a lot of food waste because it's cheap fat. And so if the animal's eating Twinkies, it's probably not going to be healthy for you if you eat that as a steak.
True. Okay. So,
so part of, I think the movement you guys have latched onto is the whole, grass fed, organic, you know, higher quality. To the point, like we have this huge problem with beef, chicken, pork, all of it, of the supply chain and the quality of it. And I always joke about the Franken chickens that we eat.
I was watching a documentary about that recently. It had a lot. It was just like the chicken farms and gross.
The chicken wings are like the size of a chicken leg.
Yeah.
I thought all beef was the same. And I thought, hey, don't all cows eat grass? And as it turns out, no, not really. Unfortunately, the big four beef producers control a vast majority of the market. So they're all about, you know, fattening up the cattle, putting a lot of artificial weight on it, and they don't care about the healthy aspects of it. And so, Matt, to answer your question, yes, it was the putting a quality product. And what I mean by that is higher nutritional value. Grass-fed beef has much more antioxidant vitamins, lower fat, amino acids and CLAs and things like that.
Yeah.
And we want folks to really understand where their food comes from, whether it's beef or anything else, and really demand transparency in how people are producing the food, what's in it, and why it's better than what you can find at the grocery store.
So you mentioned that you said the big four, and I'm just assuming, like most big businesses, that there's four big players in raising beef. Did that have something, and that makes it hard to penetrate a market, get distribution, different things like that, because they control those channels.
They control everything.
Right. So did that have a lot to do with your decision to take this direct to consumers?
No, it had more to do with our friends and neighbors who help us produce beef. A lot of them are losing their family farms. And the reason why is the big beef producers are controlling the auction houses and they're controlling the entire supply chain. In fact, earlier this year, they allegedly, the big four, colluded to reduce the price they were paying to farmers and ranchers by about 30%.
Yeah, that's what the documentary I was watching. I think they were turkey farmers, and the companies that buy the turkeys from the farmers tell them what their bid will be.
Oh yeah.
Tell them, they say, okay, and you don't have a choice.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
It's definitely not a free market economy, and it's definitely not like in the vein of capitalism.
Well, none of it is good for the consumer.
No.
No. Regardless of the price, but the quality and health and all that sort of stuff that goes into it.
Oh, and if we lose our family beef producers, the big four aren't going to have anyone to buy their animals from. So it's important that we give other options to beef producers and open up other markets. And so that was really one of the main reasons why we decided to take it direct to consumer in more of a proof of concept. So we said, hey, dialing it back a little bit, there's a restaurant in Kansas City called the Savoy that's the oldest restaurant in the town. And the owner, and he sold it a couple of years ago, but we gave him some ground beef. And he said to my dad, he said, hey, this is the best hamburger I've ever had. We said, you got to be kidding me, right? So that was another, well, if we can produce quality meat, and if somebody who knows what they're talking about really likes it, can we manage the entire supply chain to produce the animals and deliver it to the end consumer? So Riverwatch Beef is really a proof of concept that can we do that, and can we do that consistently? And I think the answer is yes. So,
well, you validated that point. Didn't you guys completely sell out of everything? Was that at Christmas, or was that...
Yes, we sold out in early December, and then we also sold out in May. What we mean sell out, we do small batch beef, so we only process 5 or 8 or 10 head at a time, and everything from steaks to roast and ground beef, and especially our jerky, and to
which is delicious.
Well, thank you. Maintaining the quality. So now it's about scaling up and trying to still be small batch, but so that we're always have inventory in stock. And we appreciate our customers who buy us, and really the support of the Kansas City community, which has been great, and folks like you helping us get the word out.
So do you have a store?
Not yet.
I mean, is that one of your goals?
Do you need or want one?
A butcher shop?
Maybe down the road. There's a lot of expense and cost in managing retail. And so we do have some retail partners, Colonial Gardens in Blue Springs, which is kind of like an agritourism landscape type company. They sell our frozen beef as well as jerky. And then Bulk It in Lenexa also sells our jerky. So we're going to use partners and grocery stores for the distribution, and maybe in the future, perhaps doing a restaurant or maybe opening up a retail, but for now it's delivery.
I mean, do you sell to any restaurants? Because I would think they would be a prime customer for this.
We've got a couple that we're talking to. The local restaurants here are a little bit resistant to grass-fed beef, and because there's a lot of confusion in the market. People really don't understand what grass-fed beef is, number one.
Seems simple to me.
Well, yeah, right. It cooks differently. So it cooks like a wild salmon. And so to try to get people to cook two different kinds of hamburger, you have to retrain the kitchens.
Really
so
cooks that different?
It does. Why is it?
That just goes to show how crazy the difference is, right?
I agree.
You cook it at a lower temperature, whereas the beef you'd buy in the store, maybe you blast it and blast it on high heat.
Blast it to get all the get the Twinkies and the Skittles out of it.
But it's lower heat, and it's also about 25 to 30% less cooking time because it's a leaner protein.
Okay.
So if you overcook it, it's going to be like overcooking wild salmon. It's not going to taste very well. So there's still a perception. A lot of people say, well, I had grass-fed beef once, and yeah, it really didn't taste good. And that was because it probably wasn't prepared correctly or wasn't aged correctly.
Interesting. So, I had no idea.
Think about that. Like, just like that's something I never would have considered. Like, you could have a problem distributing a natural product because the cooks and the kitchens at all the places would have to have a different mentality when it came to how long it took to cook it.
Yeah.
And like that, and then how that throws everything else off, because if it takes 30% less time to cook, then you have to put the vegetables on sooner. You got to do all this. You got to do, I don't know, man. That's why I never worked.
It reminds me of kind of when Chipotle came out with their queso and everybody hated it because they're used to like fake Velveeta cheese, and Chipotle tried to make a natural queso and everybody's like, no.
I'm all for natural, man. And it's hard. It's hard to like eat natural stuff.
Everybody's so accustomed to eating fake cheese.
Well, that's right. And I mentioned,
but just in general, it's just what's in front of you everywhere you go. And, you know, I mean, I'm a big advocate of the organic and all that stuff, because there is a ton of nasty
same thing.
Shit
you go to McDonald's, you're not getting cheddar cheese.
That is
on
not grass fed beef.
Yeah. And it's not
grass fed. It might not even be beef.
No. It is beef, but it's not from America, unfortunately.
It's 51% beef, probably.
And I read an article, and don't take this as fact, but they mentioned something like there could be a couple hundred animals in one McDonald's hamburger, because they're aggregating. And
oh, well, that's good.
That's yeah. also not healthy, though.
It's 51%.
That's maybe. Also not healthy, man.
Not at all.
Yeah, because who knows? Because if one of those out of 100 has got some something, there yeah. we go. It's just like contaminated.
And there's one other thing about perception of grass-fed beef, and it's a leaner product. And people say, well, if it doesn't have fat or if it's not well marbled, it's not going to taste good. And the inverse is actually true if it's quality grass-fed beef, because the animals or the beef gets its flavor from the grasses that the animals eat, and it actually has more of a beefy flavor. It's almost like venison. You know, you get that. It's not quite gamey.
I like venison. I told you that before we started. I mean, but it's my wife won't eat it. And she won't even try it because it's different. It's something mm-hmm. different. And she's like, I don't want to try that. But she also doesn't want to ever consider, if you asked her where beef came from, she would say the store. Which is, I guess, correct, but not. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had. But, you know, you're competing with like Blue Apron. And is that who Amazon owns, or do they own a different one? And just like the delivery of any food product, and I would imagine that it's probably expensive to acquire a customer.
Very expensive. My understanding is Blue Apron was spending $480+ to acquire one customer. And they're going for the lifetime value, yeah, of course. Sure. And they've
that's
got
a lot.
Yeah, it's hard to compete. And so there's a lot of competition from, I would say, the bigger players who you're familiar with. There's also more and more family producers that are getting into this, which I think is great. And, you know, it's...
I mean, any business is going to have a struggle. Well, first off, $480, that's a lot to acquire a customer. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what it is. I mean, I don't know what the...
For anything consumer-facing where consumers don't spend a whole lot of money and...
Yeah. And then you have other costs in there too, because you obviously, when you're shipping something that's perishable,
yeah.
I mean, dude, that's a whole nother can of worms, is it?
It is. And we're a small shipper. And so right. we basically have to pay retail for our packaging we ship UPS. So it's very expensive. Also expensive to be a small batch producer. So everything's by hand. Everything's an artisan approach. So it's,
I would imagine on the flip side of that, though, that there are that if you find customer, I bet your customer loyalty is still high because if people want what you're selling and they understand what you just described, they get the value.
They do. Our audience is really niche. So we're not trying to sell beef to all people. Our top customers tend to be women in their 50s, and their family used to buy an animal from a friend or a neighbor,
yeah, yeah.
and they would all go in together, and that's really hard to find anymore.
Wow.
So, and what they're looking for is an all-natural product. They may have some cholesterol issues. Grass-fed beef has lower bad cholesterol and more good cholesterol. But it's hard to get the word out because we were an unknown quantity, and yeah. who's Riverwatch Beef?
So how'd you do that?
Just kind of bootstrapping. So one person
like legit door to door kind of networking mentality.
Yeah. We gave away a lot of samples sure. and said, hey, you know, how are we doing here? Testing the delivery process and the cold packs and everything. Going back to the support in Kansas City, I've been on several podcasts and other things to help get the word out, radio right. shows and whatnot. So the community's been helpful. And yeah, it's just a lot of hustling, going door to door, talking to people. Once we get that base of good customers, they're referring us to their friends and sure. family, and we're just growing organically.
Do you make a point to seek that referral from your clients or customers?
We ask. Sure. I do all the deliveries, and so I get to talk to folks. And when they see that we're a family business and we're family centric, a lot of people ask, hey, how can we help you? We'd love to introduce you to a restaurateur or a chef or our neighbor down the street that's looking for some good beef. We've tried to do some advertising on Facebook and Google, and that's my background, web marketing. Same issue.
I bet that's probably pretty expensive as well.
It can be expensive, but it's more about a frequency. It's not really a one-click purchase. You're right. not going to say, oh, I see this ad and I'm going to buy, you know, $100 worth of beef and have it delivered. So it's a frequency of getting on
people's radar. How much is the average order?
It exceeds $100. We've got our lowest package at $49. So,
and what would that include?
10 pounds of ground beef. So $4.90 a pound delivered. We offer free delivery in Kansas City.
It's really not that bad.
Well, that's basically a cost. And we do that to, again, get in front of people to get constant feedback to make sure we're doing our job. And so we're having repeat customers, and now they're buying ribeye steaks and fillets and briskets and whatnot.
It's called the lost leader.
It is.
And retail, that's what you refer. That's your $9.99 something.
So do you have a lot of competitors? There's a lot of other people that are doing this?
There are. The biggest competitor would be Butcher Box out of Boston. They did crowdfunding probably about 3 or 4 years ago now, and they're killing it. They're doing great. I think they're doing what they do is they partner with a number of different producers, and they kind of do the processing.
So they're more into distribution than
they are. And we only focus on grass fed beef. They focus on all protein. So you could get chicken or heritage pork or even some seafood now, but I think they're doing a great job. There's other ones like.
So are you beef only?
We are. We're grass-fed beef only at this point. So our niche is 100% natural beef that's free-ranged, grass-fed, no additives or anything like that. Maybe one day we'll get into Kobe beef, but we'll see.
That was actually a question I had, because I know that some of the specialty things, like what is it? Why is Kobe beef? I know it's good because I've eaten it.
It's a different kind of cow, right?
It's delicious.
It's a different kind of cow. It's also the original Kobe strain from Japan. They all died out. They caught some kind of herd disease. And so now they have like New Zealand Wagyu beef and Kobe.
Wagyu's good.
And it's they used to feed them beer and barley and massage them. And I don't think they really do that anymore.
Wow, I need that. I'll do that.
And beer and barley.
I've been trying to put you out to pasture since we started this podcast. So if that's what's going to get it done,
perfect,
then that's fine. And I've also wanted to lasso you.
And we can do that.
I mean, that's actually, for those of you listening,
if you can catch me,
63% of the time I actually physically lasso Matt Watson and pull him into the studio, and he's like kicking
to do the podcast,
kind of kicking, right. And literally when you say kicking and screaming, he is.
Yeah.
It's the high pitched squealing that I could do without.
I'm sorry.
Well, I am a cow whisperer, so I can talk to you and kind of settle you down a little bit.
This is also, you know how I've been threatening for years every time one of your kids has a party to like bring livestock.
I'm still waiting for that hippo.
I know. I'm the guy that, well, you're like, hey, my kid's birthday party's in 2 weeks on Saturday. I'm like, what is your neighborhood's policy on livestock? And then, you know, and then I'll send a subtle message to the wife, and they'll be like, what's up? Do your kids, it's all about how you ask. It's like, do your kids like petting zoos? And you just leave it. And then you don't even reply. They're like, why? What? What do you mean? What are you doing? What do you have planned? And you have to ghost it. You have to have the discipline to ride it out.
Can a hippo fit in your swimming pool?
Yes.
The answer is yes. I know somebody. They tried it.
The follow-up question with that is also, what is your neighborhood's policy on open flame? So, Well, I've been making people very uneasy for years right before their children.
I have another question for you. So Kansas City is home to barbecue.
It is.
Yes.
Dang. So do you think much Kansas City barbecue is actually made with grass-fed beef?
No.
I mean, so there's a whole nother level to barbecue that we haven't unlocked, or maybe we had that level 100 years ago.
And for those of you listening outside of Kansas City, Kansas City, it has the best barbecue. I've been all over the country. Yeah. I've tested this theory, and I'm not just being like a hometown hero here. It's true. We rule.
Why the barbecue teams don't use grass-fed beef? It's because it's leaner. And if you want good burn ends, which is a Kansas City staple, which is the end of the brisket, you need that big fat cap. And we've got a good fat content, but not like a prime or a choice cut. And so all the barbecue teams really want more fat than a leaner type product.
They need more Skittles and Twinkies.
It brings out the flavor profile. Yeah. But we do have a couple barbecue teams that we've given some samples, and they really liked it. So I think the preparation's different, and I'm not a pit master, at least not yet. But I think that
is
would
that
be
like a real thing. It's like, I thought you just declared you were a pit master. Do you like get certified?
I'm a pit master as well.
You're
Matt
Pit Master Watson.
Armpit master, maybe.
there's a gentleman by the name of Paul Kirk who runs a Pitmaster school in Kansas City, and he is internationally famous. He's I've had the opportunity to know him for a long time.
We need to get that dude in. I want to know what it's like to run a Pitmaster Academy.
It's staying up all night and looking at beef, and
it's got to smell like an
armpit. So the people that live behind in the house, our backyards connect, and we're friends with them, but they love making barbecue, and you know, I'm a night owl, so sometimes I'm awake at like 3 a.m. and I see my neighbor Steve like sneaking out into his backyard in his like boxer shorts to like check the smoker.
Yeah,
he thinks no one sees. We see you, Steve. I saw you, buddy. And you know, the hardest part is I smell it, and I'm going to be honest. I have considered
stealing some barbecue.
A beef thief, yeah, without a doubt. So I mean, it's true, though. I mean, it's true. So,
you could steal it and leave some beef jerky in its place.
That would actually be really fun. I'll steal the brisket,
your ribs and your
brisket. And I'm going to buy a bunch of beef at riverwatchbeef.com, which is where our listeners are probably going to go and buy some of this, hopefully, or get a subscription or do something, because it is good. It's really good. But yeah, that would be really funny if he went to the, just put one little flat piece of jerky where the brisket was.
You oversmoked it.
And just and never say anything about it ever again.
Or like, I can give you a brisket and you can sneak over and put it in the smoker and see how he likes it.
I don't want to do that either. I'm going to take a bite out of the jerky too before I put it in there. And then I'll never admit that I did it. It's because you got to play the thing out. It's like the livestock and the other things. So now I'm sitting here looking at these show notes, and I see something here that says there's going to be a special offer for Startup Hustle listeners. This is a first.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's a first that, yes, our guests are apparently overwhelmingly greedy when it comes to promo codes. Hmm. Well, that's part of why we wanted to have you in here. By the way, thanks again for coming in, because what we're trying to do is provide a diverse, I'd say, library or whatever lineup of, you know, we're software guys and we've done some other stuff, but you know, we were just in another episode talking about the importance of like mastermind groups and learning from other people and other entrepreneurs, and like knowing that there's this massively high cost of acquisition. That just makes me feel a little better about some of the cost of acquisition that I complain about on some days, right? But getting a different approach to things, I've never heard of a food desert, and just kind of learning some different stuff. But yeah, this will be the first ever discount code, and I'm going to let you pitch that.
Yes, for our listeners, if you go to riverwatchbeef.com, we've got a grass-fed beef club, which is a monthly subscription. We've got a number of beef packages, gift packages. We also do custom beef box. If you place an order for any amount and you use the coupon code HUSTLE, you get 10% off, and that includes sale prices. So as we talked about, 10 pounds of ground beef, which is very lean, dry aged 21 days, would be about $44 after the coupon. So
is it okay to freeze this stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So USDA requires us to freeze it as soon as it's processed.
So we already freeze it.
Yeah, we store it at minus 25.
Is it all beef like that?
Not all beef, but to be able to ship it. Yeah,
Sure.
It's got to be frozen.
Okay.
And by the way, I want to talk about that. Like as we move on, I want to talk about the challenges of some of the things that you learned about shipping and fulfilling orders, because it's a lot harder than people think. Yeah,
again, I knew enough to be dangerous, and then I had to make some adjustments on the fly. But we actually ship nationwide, get a lot of orders from California, New York, Texas. So it's been interesting to make sure that it gets there on time and it gets it's delivered frozen. So,
do you deliver anywhere outside of the United States?
Not yet. There's all kinds of laws. We've talked.
Oh, that's a good point. When we fly to Cebu, like,
on the way back, they're like, true story.
I bought beef jerky, and they're like, you know, you have to eat all that before you get off the plane.
Yeah, in Taiwan, they will not allow you to bring in even beef jerky through the airport. You have to throw it away. So I've had to throw beef jerky away in Taiwan.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
But that should never happen.
Because usually it's not cooked meat.
I'm just like stuffing it in my mouth. I look like a chipmunk going through customs. I really did on one. I was with you. We were in, where was that? The really crappy airport in Japan.
Nagoya.
God, how does that? It's terrible. That's like the worst airport that I've ever been to internationally. And then you go to Taipei, which is like the greatest.
You haven't been to Singapore yet.
I'm going to send pictures next time. Yeah. But yeah, I bought like a big thing of beef jerky, which by the way, that's interesting too. Cause you know, much like barbecue, beef jerky has got some regional flavors and tastes. I used to live in the Southwest and they put like green chili and all kinds of stuff on it. It was not good for people like me. Make you sweat. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it hurts on the way out too. Yeah. Let's just keep it real.
So you guys ship this stuff on dry ice?
We actually use cold packs. Dry ice is a hazardous material because it sucks the oxygen out of the air. So we've got an insulated box that a company in Kansas City actually found us and said, hey, we've got good packaging for you and it works great. So we put cold packs in there and haven't had any returns. And so we're thankful for that.
Have you had any, did you have any tough learning curves? We were just mentioning that. There's no way you ship a lot of packages. We used to ship a lot of packages at the ticket company, and every now and then the machine just eats one or something like that.
Yeah, it was things like making sure that we have a plastic bag so that if a cold pack cracks, that it's not getting liquid all over. I actually build all of our boxes myself, and so I tape the foam insulation together so that there's no gaps. I actually tape the outside of the boxes as well. So we do as much as we can to make sure that it stays cold. We've talked to a number of different shipping companies and we're just like anyone else. So, you know, they try to get it there and we do ship it insured, but, we just do retail shipping. So,
you know what? That is a perfect segue to,
oh yeah,
we got a version of mixtape. Yeah, and it fits really well because if your beef shipment goes bad, and it won't because Riverwatch sounds like they really got it together, but if it did, you might run into this scenario.
Yeah.
You guys want to check out mixtapethegame.com. So we're going to name a scenario, digital product coming soon. By the way, mixtape was in Rolling Stone this month.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Joel just sent me a picture of it. Literally Rolling Stone magazine, you know how they do those things? They'll be like must have items for the summer.
Yeah.
Well, they had a whole bunch of them and then there's mixtape.
Wow. That's
cool. Yeah. I got that. Like Joel, he was like apologizing. He's like, this is really cool. Sorry to send it so late. I'm like, dude, if mixtape is in Rolling Stone, you can send me that picture 24 hours a day.
That's cool. Yeah.
So I'm going to name a scenario and then we're all going to name a song and then we'll vote for the other person. So this one, which I said was maybe a little dreary. So if you're peering through a rainy window, and I would assume that also goes for through a window on a rainy day, much like today here in Kansas City, every day has been a rainy day. It's not always sunny in Kansas City. So are you going to go first? Cause I feel like we're going to pick the same song.
I'm going with Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage.
Okay. I'm going with Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli.
Okay.
I got to go with Riders on the Storm by The Doors.
Gets my vote.
Do you see what I did? You know, Riders, Cowboys.
Yes. That's exactly. You had it all.
All right. I'm going with our guests. They always win.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
The winner. We need to start numbering these. We like, you know, UFC is on like 238. So we need to have like mixtape 37.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, man. Something. I got to keep track of it somehow. But, so, and by the way, for those of you listening, check us out on Instagram on at Startup Hustle Podcast, where after you listen to this episode, we will post an image that once again has the discount code of Hustle, and we will put the logo from Riverwatch Beef on there. And that way, if you need to figure that out later, you want to know where to go, you can find it right there.
I just love that we have guests on that are not tech companies, you know, just learning
that was about the point. Yeah.
Startups and, yeah, you know, new businesses that are doing totally different things. Cause there's a lot of people out there that are trying to start businesses that are not necessarily tech companies.
In our recent episode about startup communities.
Yeah.
And you know, go back a couple episodes and listen to that. We were talking about reaching out and I mentioned that's how I met Chris because I crowdsourced it. I went and asked our very active startup community. I said, I want to talk to non-tech people. Who are the entrepreneurs, influencers, anybody? Give me someone that does something different. And so you were on that list. And like, well, actually Ryan O'Connell did, and that wasn't software, that was influencer marketing. And then there were, you know, some others, like we have the KC Soda company coming. I hope they bring free stuff too.
Yeah.
I would trade jerky for good soda.
Yeah. And then, well, Thou Mayest Coffee, and that's what we're drinking, I think. They sent 5 pounds of roast beef, or not roast beef, roast coffee.
Roast coffee.
So thank you, Bo Nelson, who's someone that we're following. And also, we're going to follow Riverwatch Beef on our Instagram account, which is a great place to look to see who we're following. Do you have an Instagram account?
Yes, we do. And it's at Riverwatch Beef. And so you can see our animals out in the pasture. You can see our family and friends, my dad and I included, who are actually raising the animals. We're actually located. So we raise our cattle in two different places. One is near Trinidad, Colorado, the booming metropolis, which is in the very south part of the state, and then Wyandotte County here in Kansas City. So the property in Colorado was actually on the Charles Goodnight Trail, which was the original cattle trail, very famous. Lonesome Dove was shot around that region, or at least it was based on that. So we are at the intersection where all the old cattle herds used to graze. And the reason why is it was the best grass in the region. There's some gramma grass out there, and talk about non-technical. The grasses in Colorado and Kansas have a much higher nutritional value than other grasses. Ah. And so we also raise two different places because of drought. So Colorado's experienced, we're in the middle of a 15-year drought. This year, we've actually had more rainfall than the last couple of years combined.
Where were you in Colorado again?
It's near Trinidad, Colorado. Yeah, so sure. It's the last stop on I-25 before you hit New Mexico. So the idea was a hub and spoke model, that we would have our herd out there and we would take some animals here. Or if there was a drought, we could trade. And
I used to live, I lived in Durango. For four years. And yeah, it is beautiful, but it's different because it's right there next to New Mexico. So it's kind of like borderline mountains and desert, and very interesting place.
Interesting.
So, by the way, I want to play another trivia game while we're at it. So, and who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay. Your enthusiasm is overwhelming Matt. Yeah. Matt loves it when I make up games here on the podcast. So we have had listeners in 173 countries so far.
Yeah.
And I think it's really surprising, the top 10 list.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm going to give, you guys can be a team.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you, where it's going to be like baseball. You get 3 strikes.
And we got to get the top 10s, like family food style.
You only got to get 5 because I'm not going to make every. Yeah. Okay, sure. I might make a buzzer sound. But so, all right, you have to get 5 right before you get 3 wrong. And you can't take more than 5 seconds to make a pick.
So we're going United States.
Ding.
Canada.
Ding.
Philippines.
Ding.
Germany.
Ding.
United Kingdom.
Ding.
Woo, 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 woo.
Oh, man.
Dang.
Wow. That was really good. So who do you think you left off of the list?
Our brother in Russia. I don't know.
Australia.
Australia.
I'm going to read the list in order because it really surprised me. Okay. I really surprised. And by the way, you'd think that Philippines would be high. It's not. It's barely on the list.
I just know we have enough employees over there.
United States. That's why I know I actually sent a message in Slack today. I was like, hey, guys, why are you? Well, they're 9th on the list.
Yeah.
It goes, it's United States, overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Germany, China, France, South Africa, the Philippines, and then New Zealand.
Yeah.
And that was the top 10. And in a later episode, I want to figure out who the countries we're missing are, and we're going to run some kind of crowdsourcing campaign to get, I want them all.
Well, we're only like 10 away from all of the United Nations.
While you were gone, we did formulate a plan to get a listener in North Korea. We were going to buy up the old Microsoft Zune players because we got to be able to get a good deal on those.
Yeah.
No one wanted those. We're going to load them up with the startup hustle. We're going to fly them in on balloons.
Okay.
And then we realized they don't have internet. So we're going to also have to build a blimp.
How are we going to count that they listened?
Well, that's the problem, because then we realized the Zune player didn't have Wi-Fi, didn't do anything. So we really just failed. We're working on
it. It's a bad startup.
We're going to work on it. Hey, we're getting.
How are you going to monetize this?
I'm not trying to monetize. I'm trying to get one fucking listener in North Korea so I can get that off the list. Like, it's going to be a tough one. We actually have had listeners in Iran.
Wow.
And other places, and you'd be shocked. Yeah. And does the Isle of Man only have men on it? Because we've had listeners from there. So, right. Gentlemen, thank you. Anyway, well, this was fun. You guys swept right through that list. I should have made that a little tougher. So, all right. So, check it out. Go to riverwatchbeef.com. See what they're doing. Buy something. Use the code HUSTLE. You can also contact them at 800-373-5210. Is that correct?
It is. And we don't really have a fancy call center, so you'll get to talk to me.
And that's good, man. Personal service is returning. I like it.
It is. We've often said that we want to be the Zappos of beef. And so
do they answer the phone too?
Well, actually, they do. Back in the day, you could order a pizza from them and you could say, hey, I want a pizza delivered. They'd get on Google. Tony Shea was telling this at Big Omaha. And so anyway, they would talk and help you however they could. And what we want to do is we want to be the beef concierge. So if somebody's looking for particular cuts, we can even do some custom stuff or want more information about how we produce our beef. Our goal is to be 100% transparent.
I like it. I like it. Call them to buy beef, not a pizza, or at least buy a beef pizza. So yeah, check that out. I love what you guys are doing. I love the approach to what you're doing. Thank you for coming in. And thank you really for real. Thank you for you brought by several bags of beef jerky.
Yeah, thank you.
Of which, it's delicious. Of which it took exactly 13 seconds to get into the first bag. Actually, you disappeared with one.
No, I did immediately.
You're like, she came in with the box. She said, someone dropped off beef jerky. I was like, yeah, that's Thursday's guest. And Watson, your hand, like, I've never seen you move so fast.
Yeah.
It was like the Matrix. Dude.
I love beef jerky. So.
And then he was gone.
Yeah.
Like Kaiser Sose or something. So anyway, I'm looking forward to trying some of the beef. I'm going to buy some of it online and check it out.
Me too.
And because I'm going to lower my cholesterol.
And if I could also say thank you for inviting us to be on Startup Hustle. And thank you for what you're doing for the business community, but spotlighting Kansas City and being part of this great community. And I know you guys have been part of the community for a long time, but it's just so cool. Not in a homerish way, I don't think, but what Kansas City and everyone helping and really
we're super homerish about Kansas City. I mean, almost all of our guests have been from Kansas City.
You know, I started my first company in 1996, and I wish there would have been some of the resources that are here now, but just to see all kinds of people from different backgrounds doing all kinds of cool things, it's really special.
Well, we're in Cowtown. We should have River Watch Beef on our podcast.
I dig it. And once again, check it out. Anyway, I got a lot of beef jerky to eat. I'm going to see you guys next time.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.